would, back to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. I assume that most of you was already there still. I felt edified this morning after I left the service. Well, partially edified. The new Guinness Book of World Records has been broken with a new sermon. 53 hours and what was it, Brother Mark? 18 minutes. And Brother Brian won't know when I was going to challenge it. Amen. Yeah. Don't you just feel that edification there? The confidence. Preacher, you can do it. But then they said, and then you could get point number one after that. Introduction. Lord help us. Amen. That's the hardest thing in the world for me, is to try to figure out what to leave out. I mean, that's difficult, you know, to try to condense everything down. You spend time studying. If you study in at all much, the Lord's going to give you some things. You can't just say, Lord, they can't handle that anyway. I'll just keep that. Or I don't know. Y'all pray for me about that. A man told Brother Buster Mullins, one of the great preachers, he told Brother Mullins, he said, after you've been preaching about 10, 15 minutes, said, you done lost us. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? The man of God studied, prayed, tried to, you know, get with the Lord. And Brother Buster don't just run rabbits. I mean, he'll give you something. And he told him, and one of his good men, he said, after you've been preaching about 10 minutes, he said, you done lost us. And so Brother Buster said he's trying to compact it down. And I don't know how you do that. Y'all pray for me. One benefit about being a pastor, though, you can just and come back next service and hook up with it, I guess. I don't know. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Most of you have been here and we've read the scriptures. I'm going to read verse 16, 17, and 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Our Father, I come in your presence, Lord. Lord, I need you. We need you. Lord, I know that preaching is a spiritual task and requires spiritual enablement and power. Lord, it cannot be done in the energy of the flesh with any kind of success, any kind of fruit, any kind of lasting effects. Requires the Holy Spirit, Lord, to move. Lord, I pray, dear Father, that you will come upon us with your Holy Spirit and power and unction. Lord, I need that touch from God that makes preaching effective. Lord, I'm not interested in having preaching be a performance tonight. But I ask that God, you'd bring to my mind the things that we need to say. I believe that you're sending RBT a word. I believe you're sending us a word. I want to look at it, you're sending me a word. Lord, you're letting us in on the very truth of how we can face tomorrow, and no matter what tomorrow holds. Lord, we know that if our inner man is renewed day by day, Lord, that we will not deal with anything that will, Lord, overcome us, that will not deal with anything, will not face anything, Lord, that will cause spiritual reversement, spiritual decline. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you'll help us, get us beyond the flesh tonight, get us beyond the physical. Lord, I pray that you'd get us out of the realm of the human and out of the realm of, Lord, the earthly, and get us in the realm of the supernatural and the heavenly and the godly. I pray that you will have the preeminence in this service. Lord, we thank you for these that have made their way back out to the house of the Lord this evening. I would ask God that you would help them, set the table, feed them, bless them. When they get in their car, they'll be able to say, it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Have your will and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you know already, we've been preaching, I think, three services, three parts, out of verse 16. When the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And Paul is writing this in a chapter that, in context, is dealing with conflicts, troubles, hardships, being perplexed, persecuted, cast down, things of that nature, verse 8 and 9. Bearing about the body, the dying of the Lord. You know, just talked about in verse 1 and verse 16, the word fainting, and we'll look at that later on, maybe not tonight, but in another aspect of this message. And I'm trying to deal with, and God's trying to deal with us, about the subject of having the inward man renewed day by day. Now, that's not something that's just going to happen. It's not going to fall out of the sky. It's not just going to jump on you and you'll be spiritual. Your spirituality will never be by accident. And I trust God will help us to note that it's our responsibility that on a daily basis to have our inward man renewed. You know, and if our earthly life, and I'm going to deal with this tonight, let me just mention this. First, we talked about the meaning, what it means to be renewed, have the inward man renewed, be refreshed, rejuvenated, brought back into that condition of newness. Boy, the devil wants you to get over it, don't he? He wants you to get used to it. He wants it to become, in fact, the old story. And then we talked about this morning the must of renewal. It's not an option. Anything and everything God does. Now I want you to listen how big this is. Anything and everything that God does to you, through you, for you is connected to the inward man, the inner man. God does nothing attached to the outward man, the inward man. That shows you the must. Why it's so important that our inner man be right is because when it's not right, then we grieve God, we hinder God, God is limited at what he can do. Well, thirdly tonight, I want to pick up and deal with this, the maintenance of renewal. The very suggestion of the inward man being renewed day by day shows us that you don't just get on a spiritual level and it's fixed. That as you live your life and face issues in life, that it pulls on you and stretches and tests and tries you. And by the very suggestion that our inner man needs to be renewed shows that our inner man can get weary. Our inner man can lose ground. Our inner man can get in a shape to where it needs to be renewed. Not rebirthed, but renewed. Now listen, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us very plainly, we quote this scripture all the time, that we've been made a new creature in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. God, when he saves a person, and really that's what Brother Brian was telling in his testimony, that God had saved him and made him a new creature. And that initially is true, and that is also progressively true. Initially true, that is, just like that, God changes a person. Just like snapping your fingers, that quick, that night I got up out of the altar, I knew that I was changed. God saved my cusser that night. God changed my life, my appetite, my desires. But I didn't just get it all at once, far as the change. Progressively, God is letting old things pass away and new things come in. Old things pass away, new things come in. And that's the process of life. But it suggests in this text, this very statement in verse 16, that your inner man needs to be renewed on a daily basis. I thought that's very interesting. That my inner man needs attention every day. What about that? Isn't that something? So I want to look at that tonight and just give you some thoughts, and we'll move on and deal with whatever the Lord wants us to tonight, try to. But I want to talk about the maintenance of this renewal, the maintenance. And your spirituality requires maintenance. If you've been saved just a short period of time, you've been made aware of spiritual decline. Amen. Because when you get saved, you don't get saved down here. You get saved on a spiritual level that you'd never been on before. Because you never had before. Because your spiritual man has been dead up until it had been regenerated by the power of God. But I want to say that this maintenance not only requires it is to be done daily. You being spiritual is a daily responsibility. You being spiritual, you being where you need to be spiritually, what you need to be spiritually is a daily effort, a daily thought, a daily engagement. And it's our responsibility. You can't renew my inner man. Amen. I can't renew your inner man. You're responsible for your own spiritual life. Amen. If we treated, I wrote this down, it's kind of comical, I guess. If we treated our cars like we do our spiritual man, most of us would have had to walk to church tonight. Why do you make the parallel, preacher? Because your car requires maintenance. I don't care what brand it is. Some brands more than others. I mean, if you drive a Chevrolet, you about have to... You have to marry into the mechanic family. Say amen right there. And I tell my son, he likes a Dodge, and I said, you look it up in a dictionary, Dodge means to avoid. So there you are. But the point is, it don't matter what brand. It don't matter what brand or what reputation or what guarantee or warranty that it has. It does not matter. Don't change the oil. Don't maintenance it. Don't grease the bearings. Don't have your transmission serviced. And I don't care if it's a Mercedes. I don't care if it's a Rolls Royce. It won't be long till you're going to be on the roadside broke down because of a failure to maintenance it. Amen. No vehicle is automatically going to just run and run and run and run and run and run and run. It requires maintenance. But if we treated our car like we do our spiritual man, our cars would blow up, already be broke down, and would be ready for the junkyard. Say amen right there. Well, that's good, ain't it? I thought about this. If we worked a job like we did our spiritual life, we'd be in the unemployment line. If we paid our bills like we do our spiritual life, with the same loyalty, the same attention, our lights would be cut off probably. Amen. If we treated the physical man like we do the spiritual man, Lord help us, is all I can say. The physical man gets a whole lot more attention than the inner man. I know this is probably right. There are probably more this morning come to church that spent more time on their head than they did their heart. Brother Silas didn't. It's one of the benefits, ain't it, brother? I mean, think about how many people spent more time with a comb than they did Christ before coming to church this morning. Spent more time, come on ladies, with makeup than they did getting their spiritual life in where it needs to be. Don't go out here and say Preacher Rackley was against combing your hair. Preacher Rackley is against makeup. Don't go out here and say that because that's not true. Amen. I think there's something spiritual about, there's not a verse that says cleanliness is next to godliness, but I think it's a principle and I kind of like it. Don't you? Amen. Soap is cheap. And I just like it. But anyway, we need to maintenance the inner man. Talking about the car, I wrote down these things. It's just kind of funny in a way. But you parallel the maintenance of a car to the maintenance of your spiritual life. And I wrote these just few things down. I said, first, you can tell a car's needing maintenance in when it's losing power. Hello. When a car's losing power, it needs maintenance. You know something's wrong. Parallel that to the spiritual life. When you fail to maintenance your life and you're losing power with God, then you need maintenancing. Number two, when your car starts knocking. Brother Jason, when your car starts knocking, that means it's time to, something's up. You need to maintenance it.
Right.
Knocking, spiritual life. You knock this and you knock that. Amen. Knock the will of God, what God's trying to do in your life. Thirdly, you know a car needs maintenance in when it gets out of tune, out of time, and runs rough. You can tell a car, and you can make the spiritual parallel, but you can tell a car needs maintenance in when it starts skipping. Hello. Can I get a witness right there? Skipping. Skipping Sunday school. Skipping tithing and giving to missions and skipping Wednesday night service, skipping your devotion time, skipping prayer time, and so forth. Does anybody notice how quiet it's getting in here besides me? You can tell a car needs maintenance in when it needs, when it's constantly needing to be pushed or pulled. I think every pastor ought to have a sign, pastor's wrecker service. Haul, pull, push, tow, towing service. And because that's the way I feel sometimes, is pushing and pulling, trying to get folk to do right. You can tell a car needs maintenance in when it runs hot all the time. Yeah, amen. Lose your temper, get mad, pitch a hissy. That's right. You can tell a car needs maintenance in when the tires are flat and needs pumping up. You can tell a car needs maintenancing when it needs jumping off, pulling from somebody else's power source because their battery is dead. You can tell a car needs maintenancing when the lights are dim or even out. And those are about 10 things that just parallel between a car need maintenancing. A breakdown is inevitable if you don't maintenance your vehicle. Is that right?
Right.
No doubt. You say, well, it costs too much. An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. It's better to pay a little bit alone in a maintenance effort than to wait till a breakdown and you have to replace something major. And that parallels too with the spiritual life. It's good to pay attention to your life spiritually on a daily basis and deal with little things alone. Keep yourself where you need to be with the Lord so that there's not a major breakdown and major damage is done. Yeah, that's right. So there is maintenance involved. I wrote this down. God gives you eternal life, but it's up to you whether it's an enjoyable life. How many saved folk are miserable? How many people that know the Lord are absolutely miserable? That's not God's fault. That's not God's fault. It's not His salvation is decaying. His salvation is rusting out. No, it's that you're not maintenancing. You're not giving maintenance. Amen? Life is God's gift to you. How you live it is your gift to God. Just simply put, there it's maintenance of renewal. There's maintenance involved. And we'll say more about that in just a little bit. But I want to mention number four, I guess it would be. I want to talk about the manner of this renewal. The manner of this renewal. First, I want you to notice it says in verse 16 that this being our renewal, this being renewed, and a lot of the old timers in the mountains here, when somebody get right with God, they'd say they got renewed up. You ever heard that term? Renewed up. I guess they're drawing it from this. I don't know. But they need the inward man. We need the inward man renewed day by day. What does that term day by day suggest? It suggests that your spiritual maintenance is something that is to be done regularly. It means that your spiritual maintenance is to be done systematically or continually. day by day. You cannot afford to let one day pass that you do not give attention to your spiritual condition. Because one day can make a big difference. Amen. You can lose in one day what it will take you several days to try to regain. And then let me say this, that your spiritual life, that day by day statement, it says that your spiritual life is not to be sporadic. It's not to be on and off and up and down and hit and miss. Every day, day by day, so shows a consistently, to be done consistently. Day by day shows how important that it is 7 days a week that you focus in on your spiritual life. How many of us have noticed in our life of being saved that being spiritual is tough? How many's found that out? I'm talking about, brother, constant attention. I mean, constantly having to pull weeds out of your heart and constantly having to give attention to your spiritual condition. Brother Wells talked about the Friday night, he preached about the purpose of prayer, and we've been talking about fellowshipping with God, communing with God. Brother, it takes attention to be where you can fellowship with God, where God can fellowship with you. We have some insight into that day-by-day phrase. I guess it's a phrase. Luke chapter 11, verse 3, give us day-by-day our daily bread. That's talking about the physical nourishment, the physical nutrition. Day by day, give us, that's prayer, give us this day, or give us day by day our daily bread. So Brother Mark, he's showing us in Luke 11 and verse 3, he's showing us that your physical life requires attention every day. I'd say most of us don't go too many days without eating. Say amen. I try to not make a habit of that. Amen. In fact, I'll just tell you how much I like it. Praise God. I've got some right here. And if I get to preaching long, I'll just stop and eat me about it. I shouldn't have showed that to you. There went the spiritual right there. Whew. Amen. But day by day, give us our bread day by day, our daily bread. The physical man needs daily attention, don't it? It needs daily food. It needs daily cleansing. Say amen right there. You ought to take a bath once a week whether you need it or not. Your physical man requires attention, a doctoring. Amen. You get sick, you need attention. You focus on the outward man. The outward man gets a lot more attention than the inward man. The manner. This also, the word day by day means it's in the this word renewal is in the present tense, which means I need to give attention to my spiritual man right now. Day by day, yesterday's renewal will not be good enough for tomorrow's trial. I need to be renewed daily. It's in the present tense. Amen. And then amen, that's right. Well, if we treated the inward man partially like we do the outward man, would we not be a lot further down the road spiritually than we are now? No doubt. Listen, let me give you this to think about. I thought about this morning. The more spiritual you are does not eliminate struggles. Well, preacher, if I give daily attention to my spiritual life, I'm going to be spiritual and that's going to draw more fire. There's going to be more trouble in my life. A lot of people's got it in their mind, little spirituality means little struggle. Great spirituality means great struggle. But that's not the case. That's not the case. You can be defeated with little struggles when your spiritual man is weak, more than you can with great struggles when your spiritual man has been renewed day by day. Amen. It's not the size of your adversity that causes you to quit and faint and fall, but it is the smallness of your strength, as we looked at Proverbs 24:10 this morning. I want to move on to number five, and we've got a lot to deal with, not tonight, but just through this thought of the renewing of the inner man, and we'll try not to bog down too much in any of it, but I've got some things coming up in the future. Lord's already showed me, I believe it's going to help us. I know it's already fed me. But I want to talk about number five, the motives of renewal. Why? Why do we need to be renewed in the inward man? Well, write this one down if you're taking notes. First of all, the first motive is because of the perishing of the outward man. That's a good motive. That's a good motive to focus on the inward man, to be renewed day by day, because the outward man is perishing. The outward man is falling apart. The outward man's getting weaker. The outward man is getting worse. The outward man's not getting better. The outward man's getting worse. But to be renewed means the inward man is changing for the better. The inward man is being strengthened. The inward man is being held together. It's not falling apart. How many times fainting happens when you deal with difficulties with the flesh? And we've all done that. I don't have to ask for a show of hands. We've all done that. We've all tried to carry some of the heavy loads of life with the energy of the human ability. And it'll wear you out. It'll wear you out. It'll drown you. Amen. You can't stand it. But I thought about this, and I want to talk about the outward man perishing is a great motive for me to be renewed in the inward man. And I wrote this down. How many times when we're fainting do we turn to the outward man? How many people have been, if you've been saved any length of time, you've experienced fainting, spiritual fainting tendencies. Whether you actually fainted or not, you got weak and weary, and some of the things that is associated with spiritual fainting started to come in your life. But I've noticed this, Brother Webb, how many times people began to deal with issues in their life, and what do? They, instead of turning to renewing the inward man that will help them, they turn to the outward man and start giving the outward man what it wants. They start leaning on the outward man. They start listening to the outward man. They start being led by the outward man. Your outward man will never lead you to God. Your outward man will never tell you to pray. Your outward man will never help you spiritually. You think your outward man, you think that old human Adamic nature of yours cares anything about your spiritual life? No, it doesn't care about your spiritual life, because when you're spiritual, it puts restraints and restrictions on the outward man. So the outward man wants to be loose. It likes it when the inward man's weak. The outward man likes it when the inner man is struggling. Likes it. But I know this to be a fact, that when you turn to the outward man in a time of difficulty and hardship to try to deal with your problems, and start leaning on it and listening to it and be led by it, you will find this out to be true 100% of the time. The outward man will let you down. The outward man cannot support you. The outward man wouldn't mind at all for you to fall tonight. You think about that. You think you love yourself? You think you love yourself? Your flesh would love for you to fall before you get home spiritually. Your flesh, your human sinful nature would love for everyone in this building, including me, to, listen, absolutely destroy our testimony before we get home. Your flesh would love that. So if my flesh is like that, why would I want to listen to it? Why would I want to be led by it? And why would I want to lean on it when I know that it's going to let me down? Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians 12, when I am weak, then am I strong. How do you get that? That sounds like a contradiction, Brother Craig. When I'm weak, then am I strong. He's talking about when I am weak outwardly, I can be strong inwardly. I can draw strength from God and God's grace. So write that down. The first motive is the perishing of the outward man. The second motive tonight is the persistence of the enemy. Oh, this is good. Why Ladies and gentlemen, do I and you need to be renewed day by day? Because that's how the devil works day by day. He don't go on vacation. You think the devil goes on vacation? Oh, I've already got Brother Travis. I've just got him where he needs to be. I can leave him alone for a month. No, relentless. Every day he's coming. And we have a good example of that in Genesis 39 in verse number 10 when Joseph was in Potiphar's house. Listen to this verse. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Potiphar's wife, day by day, was after Joseph, was on him, was after him, harassing him, hounding him, trying to get him to fall. Why do I need to be renewed in the inward man day by day? It's because the devil, the enemy of my soul, fights me daily. I thought that's pretty good myself. We need to give attention to the spiritual life every day because the devil is after it every day. Amen. I thought about this. I wrote this down. The enemy is at work every day in your life, even when you're unaware of it. The enemy is after your spiritual life every day, even though you may not be aware of it. You may not be able to look and see his tactics. You may not be able to look and see his strategy. But he's up to something all the time in your life. The devil's up to something all the time in your life, plotting and planning your fall. He wants you to fall. It's much like the fact that he's in your life working and you don't detect it sometimes, just like with sickness. A lot of times sickness has been working in you before you ever know it's even there. You don't even know it's there till you start running a fever. You don't know it's there till you start chilling. You don't know it's even there till you start aching. And you don't even know it's there till you start running a temperature. But it's been at work in you. It's been working in you all along. Amen. You was unaware of it. Boy, that's the way it is. The devil can be working and he can work and work and work. Amen. But it's going to surface. So there, listen, the motives of being renewed, one, the perishing of the outward man. Secondly, the persistence of the enemy. Number three, we need to be renewed because of the pressures of life, the daily pressures of life. Good night. Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from that? Wouldn't you like to be able to have an on and off button on that? Wouldn't you like to be able to cut that off and say, I'm done with that? But my goodness, how the problems of life seem like come daily and pressures of life. We'll be driving down the road, me and my wife, and I'll just be over there blowing. She'll say, what's wrong with you? I said, pressure. I guess that's the way you relieve pressure. Just take you a good deep breath. Inhale, exhale, I don't know. But it helps, seem like. But just pressures. Every way you turn is pressure. More people today suffering with high blood pressure than has ever been in the history of humanity. Pressure. Problems. Why do I need to be renewed in the inner man? Because I need that to handle and prevent fainting in my life. So not only we need to be renewed, Brother Silas, because of the perishing the outward man, the persistence of the enemy, we need to be renewed daily because of the pressures and problems of life. Right. You think when you don't pray, your problems are going to stop? You think that day that you don't read your Bible, you're letting the inward man be neglected. You're not maintaining the inward man. You think just because you didn't pray, the devil's going to say, okay, I'll lighten up. I won't be as heavy on you this time. No, the flesh, the devil, listen, he moves in when he sees you go one day without praying. He moves in for an attack, just like a wolf, amen, is attacking a sheep. I was studying on that, preached on it here several years ago about wolves. And I found out in studying on wolves that it had been noticed by people that own sheep, that they had watched wolves pick one of the sheep out and harass that one sheep and follow that one sheep. They weren't attacking it at first. But Fultz says they just followed it. They just, it's like they singled that one out. And it's stated that, Brother Silas, they had even saw that wolf get so close to that one sheep that they actually touched noses. But that wolf was willing to abide its time. And the point was made on that, Brother Carroll, that a wolf has such a sense about him that they can detect sickness in a sheep and weakness in a sheep and decline in a sheep long before it is visibly noticed. And they just kindly just stay around and watch. They just kindly watch, and they know it's a matter of a time you're going to get weaker. And you're going to get weaker, and you're going to get weaker, and then you'll be easy prey. And just the devil move in like a wolf and just take over. So we need to be, listen, we need to be renewed because of the persistence of the enemy. We need to be renewed because of the pressures of life. We need to be, oh, like this. We need to be renewed tonight because of the preventions it brings. Thank God. The preventions in life. When you are renewed in the inward man, it puts a stop to some things. It causes a hindrance to some things. It prevents some things. Well, what does it prevent? I'm going to just give you a few of these. I'm not going to be able to give all of them because this point's pretty good size, but I want to just give this to you. Verse 1, I want to say first thing it prevents is it prevents fainting in our ministry. Verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. What does it do? When we're renewed in the inward man, ladies and gentlemen, it prevents us from fainting in our ministry. And let me say this to you. I know it may be a surprise to you, but if you're saved, you have a ministry. It's not just preachers that's in the ministry. It's not just people who hold particular offices in the ministry. If you're saved, you have a ministry. And I suggest you find out what it is and get with it. God has saved you for a purpose. God has a reason for you being His. Amen. It's not like Brother Wells talked about this Wednesday night. You're not just saved to keep you out of hell. You're not just saved to prevent you from going to hell. No. God's got a purpose for your life. Just like Wednesday night, Brother Silas, you pointed this out. We had the battery charger up here, the recharging batteries, and had the chargers and the batteries. And you pointed out that those batteries could be in that charger, plugged up, fully charged, ready to go. But if they're never taken out of that battery charger and put in the place of purpose, put in the place of usefulness, then that battery, though it is charged fully, that stays in the charger, never is placed in usefulness, is no better off than a dead battery. It does no more than a dead battery. It accomplishes no more than a dead battery. Amen. But if you just lay, remember we talked about that battery, you just lay it up there, you don't have to do nothing. You don't even have to put it in a flashlight. All you have to do is just leave it laying around and it will die on its own. It will drain out the charge that's on the inside of that battery. Listen, for that battery to be what it needs to be, to have a good long life of usefulness, needs to be charged often. Amen. Even your car. If you don't have an alternator on it, you just run it off of a battery. You can go buy the best battery that there is, Brother Webb. I don't know what that would cost. Pay hundreds, $200 to $300 or $400 to $500. It didn't matter if you paid $1,000 for it. You say, wow, praise God, I've got a $1,000 battery in this $50 car. I'll be able to drive and drive and drive and drive and drive and drive. Who needs an alternator? Who needs a charging system? Yeah, go ahead. Believe that if you want to, and we will find you calling for help on the side of the road. Because as you drive without a recharging system and an alternator, what's going to happen is that you're going to constantly be pulling out of that battery, pulling out of that battery, pulling out of that battery, and there's nothing else going back in that battery. It's not being recharged as it's being pulled out and pulled on and pulled out and pulled on. It won't be long, it'll be dead. Amen. Even people that makes cars knows that batteries is no better off than its recharging system. Well, that's good, isn't it? I don't know if our young people remember us down there in the parking lot at the mall and coming back from Brother Wells' youth camp. Remember that? Y'all don't remember us having to change that alternator out on that church van in a mall parking lot? Oh, that was exciting. We didn't get home till midnight. We started that morning. I think it was close to midnight before we got home. That was a terrible experience. And what was our young people doing out on the side of the interstate? Here I am, responsible for all them. Dead battery, I guess. That's what I figured it was. And, you know, alternator, something. Though I had good intentions, had plans. We're going home. But when that thing went out, I mean, just so happened we got to pull up under a bridge on the interstate. At least we had a little shade. What were they doing? Standing up on the concrete pile and singing. We had church on the side of the road. They brought us a new battery. Brother Andy Wells then brought us a new battery just enough that it would get us up to the mall up there next to an auto parts store. And then, of course, did any of them help? No. They were singing and whatever else while old Preacher Rackley was up under the thing getting greasy. I don't ever want to forget those times. Those were exciting times. I don't want to do it again, but that was exciting. Amen. Y'all don't remember that? Y'all remember that? You still don't remember that? That wasn't you? That was before your time? Amen. You remember? Blake, you was with us, wasn't you? But my goodness. I thought, my goodness, I'm imagining things. But what is it, listen, that the first prevention is it prevents fainting. It prevents fainting in the ministry. And the word fainting, I'm going to deal with it more in depth later on. Maybe not this message because I've already preached my time out, but I want to deal with this. Fainting has two basic meanings. And see if it applies to you. Fainting first means losing heart. Losing heart. Losing heart. Which means you're losing some of your desire. You're losing some of your affection. And when you lose heart, you're operating then as a machine. You become mechanical. Amen. Just like Amaziah in chapter 25, I believe it is, of 2 Chronicles. The Bible said there that Amaziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And that sounded good, didn't it? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But something else was added, but not with a perfect heart. God says, I not only noticed what you did, but I noticed how you did it. I noticed that you did what was right outwardly, but I also noticed what was missing on the inside. You didn't have a perfect heart. You did what you did half-heartedly. So fainting implies a losing of heart. What's this right here? You know what else fainting means? It means to become lifeless. Fainting means to become lifeless. Did you know to look at somebody that's fainted compared to somebody that has died? You can't tell the difference. From a distance anyway, somebody that's dead, somebody that's fainted, they both look alike. They look lifeless. I want to ask you something. I want to ask you something tonight. How's your heart? You're losing heart? You better make sure you focus on being renewed in the inner man because it prevents you from losing heart. You lose heart in church. You lose heart in your ministry. You lose heart in the will of God. You lose heart in what God wants you to do. I promise you, you're not going to stay with it long. Amen. A fainting person is lifeless. Do you know what the other definition that went with lifelessness? Spiritless. Spiritless. A person that's fainting is lifeless and spiritless. That's right. And how many preachers are lifeless? How many church folk are lifeless? Why do I need to be renewed in the inner man? It's because it prevents fainting in the ministry. And by the way, I want to just mention this, the word fainting. The word fainting, there in verse 1, we receive this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. That's in the active voice. That means I'm the doer of the action. Amen. Me being renewed day by day is my business. It's my responsibility. It's my responsibility. I'm the doer of the action. But fainting is right the opposite. Fainting is not what I'm doing. Fainting is what's being done to me. Being renewed is what I'm doing. But fainting is what is being done to me. So if you don't listen, if you don't be renewed in your inner man, what's going to happen? You're going to faint. It's going to be what? You're going to be on the receiving end. Instead of you being able to stand and be responsible and make good choices and do what you need to do, you're going to be on the receiving end. It's starting to go be done to me now. Amen. I'm going to start being weakened and I'm going to become lifeless and I'm going to become spiritless and I'm going to lose heart. That's big. And Paul was not afraid of fighting, but he was afraid of fainting. Paul was not afraid of fighting. He was afraid of fainting. Amen. He was scared to death of the flesh. Paul was. He wasn't afraid of soldiers. He wasn't afraid of jail cells and prisons. He wasn't afraid of the guillotine. He wasn't afraid of none of that, but he was afraid of the shelf. He was afraid of falling. He was afraid of fainting. He was afraid of somebody saying that Paul used to serve God, but he is not now. That's what he was fearful of. Amen. To him that think he stand, take heed lest he fall. Amen. So there's fainting in the ministry that is prevented. I'm going to stop right there because I want to deal with fainting. I want to go